This evening we begin our new series focusing in on the community of God, the church. And in this series we'll consider our identity as the community of God, who we are, so that we can develop a deeper understanding of who we are according to God's word. And also we'll focus in on the everyday areas of our life, looking at how we are to live as the community of God. Thinking about things such as gossip, how to handle offence, forgiveness, and many other important areas of our Christian life and interaction. And so tonight we'll take our first step into considering who we are as the community of God, our identity. And as we do take this step, just allow me to pray for us. Father, we take this time to thank you. We thank you because you're worthy of our thanksgiving. You're worthy of our gratitude. And Father, I just ask this night that you would speak to us. If you don't speak, Lord, it's irrelevant. It's of no worth if we do not hear from you. And so I ask, Father, and I trust that as we open your scriptures, you will, by your Holy Spirit, speak to us. Soften our hearts to receive from you, Father. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to serve you as I ought to. I want to hear from you tonight, Lord, so I ask that you would speak forth, transform our hearts and our minds. We pray. We ask in Jesus' name. So we'll take our first step into this series tonight. We're going to be focusing on our identity. And so we'll look at this most fundamental and core reality of who we are as the church. This is so vitally important for us to understand. But do you understand why? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what the most devastating question in the world is today? In response to this question, we have people experimenting with all sorts of distortions to their sexuality. In response to this question, we have people trying to change their gender as though it's possible. We have people living for continual highs from drugs and other mind-altering substances. We have people entertaining themselves to death in front of televisions and or computer screens. We have people seeking comfort, escape and relief in their liquor bottle of choice. And we have people simply living from experience to experience. No matter where someone is in this spectrum, the question they're all seeking to either answer or run away from is the same. Who am I? Who am I? A person's answer to this question will be immediately evident in their lifestyle and behavior. It's a question of identity. People respond to this question in a variety of ways. Some try to find their identity by seeking out all kinds of different experiences until they find the place that they feel they belong. Others decide that they have no purpose beyond this physical world, and so they live out their day seeking to do the things which make them feel good. Others are overwhelmed by this question, so they run from it. Some run to drugs and or alcohol or cigarettes. Others fill their schedules with activities or devote their lives to their career or perhaps their family in the hope that in the constant doing they'll find fulfillment and forget about this question. Others determine that they can never truly know their purpose, and so they live in ever-changing realities, trying to give their life as much meaning as they can without ever really knowing why they're truly here. There are yet many other ways that people seek to answer this question in their life. We seem to live in a world that's potentially never been more out of touch with who we are. Yet we've never been more proud of how much we think we know. We hear people say, look at our technological advancement. Look at our universities and our scientific discovery. Yet we don't even know who we are. In the midst of the world devastated by this question of identity, what difference is there in the life of a Christian? Are Christians simply just another group of people trying to run away from this question? Are we just another group of people who have no idea who we are, but we're hoping to overcome it by trying to be good people? May it never be. The true Christian doesn't have to run from this question. The true Christian doesn't have to answer this question with what they do for a living. In fact, the true Christian doesn't even need to come up with their own answer. Why? Because God gives us the answer. God tells us who we are. Hear me carefully this evening. God speaks many truths about our identity, the identity of His church in the Bible. And each of the truths that God speaks about us tell us who we are. And they answer our question, who am I? But they do so by answering the question, who are we? God tells us who we are as His community, the church. And then, as we live in His community, we begin to learn who we are as individuals. Don't miss this tonight. Because tonight we're going to focus on this truth where God tells us that we are the body of Christ. Listen to His word in the following passages. Feel free to jot down the references because I'll go through them briefly. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. And He, God the Father, put all things under His, Jesus' feet, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And He, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. This is what God tells us in Scripture, that we, the community of God, the church, are the body of Christ. This is who we are. This is our identity. We are the body of Christ. And if this is who we are, then we need to grasp what it means for us to be who we are. And we do this by coming to Scripture and having God tell us what it means. God tells us who we are, and God tells us what it means for us to be who we are. This is the beauty for the Christian. We don't have to struggle with our identity. We don't need to try and figure out who we are. Why? Because God tells us in His Word. We only need to come to God. We need to receive His truth in His Word and then live it out in the power of His Holy Spirit. This is what we're going to hear tonight. We're going to hear God tell us who we are as the body of Christ. Please turn with me, if you have your Bible, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Look with me at chapter 12. We'll read from verses 12 to 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Amen. In verse 12, Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Just as it is with our physical bodies, so it is with the body of Christ. The same thing that's true of our physical bodies, that we are one body with many members. This is also true of us as the body of Christ. We have a profound unity and oneness as the body of Christ. It's important that we grasp this correctly. What do I mean? When we read that we're the body of Christ, this is telling us who we actually are. It's speaking directly to our identity. It's a literal analogy. It's not as if we are the body of Christ. The scripture says that we are the body of Christ, and we're individually members of it. Not only are we each individual members of the body of Christ and one body together in Him, we also need to grasp this truth which is spoken in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Feel free to turn with me or to listen to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. This is what it says here. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Just as the body has many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so it is for us in the body of Christ. We are many members with different functions, yet we are one body in Christ. We're all one in Him. We also need to grasp this truth that's stated at the end of verse 5. Look with me again. We, though many, are one body in Christ. And don't miss this. And individually members one of another. We're all members of Christ's body, and at the same time, we're all individually members of one another. Why is this important? Why does this matter? In the same way that whenever an individual member of our physical body suffers, our whole body suffers, so it is with the body of Christ. When you're struggling, I'm affected. When you're hurting, I'm hurting. When you're growing, I'm blessed by your growth in the Lord. This is why it's essential that we understand this correctly. If you don't understand this correctly, that you're a member of the body of Christ and that you're members of one another, it's going to affect your relationship with God and with each other. If you don't grasp this correctly, it'll be most evident in your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We need God to renew our minds here. Our world is all about individualism. This isn't the emphasis of the Bible. Believe it or not, this is not the emphasis of the Bible. You need to understand that when you're struggling, it's not just between you and God, though it certainly is between you and God. It's not just between you and God. Why? Because whatever's happening to you is directly affecting me and every other member of the body of Christ. Whether you want it to or not, whether you intend it to or not, whether you think it is or not, whether you deny it is or not, when you're a member of the body of Christ, whatever happens to you and all the things that you do directly affects every single one of us. We are one body in Christ. We're all individual members of Christ's body and of one another. This is why we must walk together, serving one another, loving one another, caring for one another, speaking truth and life into one another, walking in the ways that God commands us to walk. This is why sin is so devastating. And if we sin, we need to confess and repent. If we sin against one another, we need to address it together. We need to forgive. We need to seek reconciliation. We need to seek reconciliation in Christ, because sin infects and affects the whole body of Christ, especially when it's not dealt with God's way. This is why we all need to be careful to walk according to the Spirit of God and not according to our flesh, because our individual walks with God affect the entire body. Your individual walk with God affects the entire body of Christ. If one of us is suffering, then we need to walk alongside each other, strengthening and encouraging one another in the Lord. This is what it means for us to be the body of Christ. Don't ignore this tonight. If you know that you don't understand this correctly, if you know you haven't grasped that whatever happens to your brother or sister in Christ directly affects you, and that your walk with God directly affects each of your brothers and sisters, then ask God to plant this truth deep within you tonight. Ask God to renew your thinking on this. It's essential that each of us grasp this. It's essential. We have to get this. If we're going to walk and live as the community of God, we have to get this. Let's look again at our text in 1 Corinthians. We'll read again verses 13 through 20. In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And here we're shown the unmistakable value of each individual member of the body, as each member makes up and contributes to the wholeness or oneness of the body of Christ. Just as in our physical bodies, a foot cannot say that because it's not a hand, it doesn't belong to the body. Just as the ear cannot say that because it's not an eye, it doesn't belong to the body. So each one of us, no matter which member we are, no matter what function we have, cannot turn and say that we're not part of the body because we don't have the same function as another member. We can't say, "Well, because I'm not Andrew, I'm not a member of the body. Because I'm not Toshi, I'm not a member of the body." This is foolish, yet it's so common. We compare ourselves to one another when we should be serving one another. We compare ourselves when we should be focused on knowing God, on knowing who we are in God. And from this foundation, serving the body as the member that God has made us to be. Each individual member of the physical body is essential to the healthy and right functioning of our bodies. And in the same way, each individual member of the body of Christ is essential for the healthy and right functioning of his body. This section exposes the destructive nature of comparing ourselves to one another. Comparing yourself to another member in the body is something that God never commands you to do. Did you know that? You will never find a verse where God commands you to compare yourself to another member in the body. When we do, it damages our walk with God and our relationships with other believers. It prevents you from loving one another as God has called you to do. Constantly comparing yourself to other believers in regard to their function damages your relationship with God and with them. So why do we do this? If God doesn't command us to do this, then why is it so common? Why is it so common for us to look at other believers and compare ourselves to them? The reason this is so common, at the very root of the issue, is that we don't truly understand who we are. We haven't truly received God's word on our identity so that we walk in it. Why do I say this? Because what good is it if I'm a foot and I see a hand and I start comparing myself to it and dejecting myself because I don't do what it does? It's pointless. We don't have the same function. We are not supposed to look the same. Not only that, but as I talk down about myself as a member of the body, I actually lobby accusations against God. Why is that? In verse 19, it says, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. God made me who I am. God made you who you are. He arranged each individual member as he chose. If I compare myself to another member and consider myself inferior, I'm pointing the finger at God. Each individual member is specifically made, chosen, and arranged according to the will of God, so that the body of Christ can function in a whole and healthy manner. We need to repent of our wrong understandings. These comparisons are destructive. If you're constantly comparing yourself to other members of the body, then you're revealing that you don't understand our oneness as a body. When we compare ourselves with other members of the body, it shows that we see our relationship as a competition. It's as if I'm competing with you to see who's the better foot or eye or whatever I may be. This means that I'm putting my individuality above the oneness of the body. Why is this a problem? Because if I'm focused on myself, if I'm focused on me, the individual member of the body, then I'm not focused on glorifying the head, which is Christ. And this is the entire purpose of the body. The purpose of the body of Christ is to glorify our head, Jesus Christ. The purpose of each individual member of the body of Christ is to build up the body as a whole in unity, so that both corporately and individually we glorify Jesus. We're not in opposition. We're not against one another. We're not in competition. As you grow, I grow. As you honor the Lord, I'm blessed as a member of the body with you. We need to get our thinking right on this. There are numerous occasions in Scripture where God calls us to be of one mind together. We're to be united in our purpose to exalt Jesus, to worship Jesus, to glorify Jesus. In this oneness of mind, we then live to serve and honor, glorify, and please Him together. This is our purpose, brothers and sisters. Heed this warning from Scripture about the destructive nature of comparing yourself to one another. Don't remain in this mindset if this is you. Thinking this way will destroy you. Thinking this way will damage the body of Christ. And ultimately, it doesn't in any way honor the Lord. And so if you say without hesitation that you're a Christian, that you follow Jesus and you live for Him, then repent of any comparison or competition mindset that you have within you. Because such thinking does not exalt Jesus. It doesn't. Be honest with yourself tonight. Confess this to God, if this is you. In our passage, Paul then goes on to show us another destructive result of this competitive mindset, this comparison mindset, in verses 21 through 27. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. The other deadly outcome of comparison is pride. There's no place for pride in the body of Christ. Nor is there such a thing as a lone ranger. The foot can't go off on its own. The eye cannot jump out of its socket and hope to live separately from the body. Yet it's so common today that individuals who claim to be Christian think it's fine for them to go out on their own with God. Firstly, it's disobedient to the very commands of God. And secondly, it's foolish and absurd. When we live in this comparison mindset, we reveal the reality within ourselves that we are not living for God's glory, but for our own. As has already been stated in verse 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? You aren't made to go it alone. We need God above all, and we need one another. This is the way God created us. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. When we start thinking that we're the greatest foot around, we actually start to believe that we can break away from the body and go it alone. We actually, as stupid as it is, start to think that we don't need the rest of the body, that we can live and function on our own. Take a moment to imagine what would happen if my eye jumped out of its socket. It would die immediately. as soon as it's separated from the nerve endings which give it life and functionality, it would be useless. And so it is for us. When we, the individual members of the body of Christ, try to break away from the community of God, the best case scenario was shriveling up and dying. More realistically, we're probably already dead. There's no exceptions here. As much as we try to find the one in a million exception, you know, the one in a million scenario for our friends and the ones that we love, no one's justified in blatantly disobeying Jesus. There's no book, chapter, or verse where God says, it's fine for you to disobey me if you have circumstances X, Y, or Z. It's not in there. God created you as an individual member of Christ's body. You're an individual part of the whole. You're united in oneness with God in Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit. And at the exact same time, you're united to one another. This isn't an optional extra of our faith. It's foundational. We need to know who we are in God as the body of Christ. If we don't understand this correctly, then our participation in the body won't be healthy. If you're constantly comparing yourself with other members of the body, then you're not functioning as a healthy member of the body. If you're constantly trying to go it alone, if you're constantly withdrawing from the community, then you're hurting the body. You're hurting yourself, and you're hurting your brothers and sisters. We need to wake up to this. This isn't a condemnation, if this is you tonight. This is the Holy Spirit of God exposing our wrong understandings through His Word and calling us to repent, to have our minds renewed by Him, to see things the way that God has made it, and to walk in freedom from our misunderstandings. If you've often withdrawn from the community of God throughout your Christian life, thinking that you can go it alone, or if you're constantly comparing yourself to other members of the body, then repent tonight. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you to walk as you ought to walk, as a member of Christ's body. Ask Him to help you walk as an individual member of His body that's one with each of us. Ask God to continue to transform your thinking on this as your mind is renewed by the truth of God's Word. God changes your heart and your thinking. And as a result of this, He transforms your conduct and your behavior. Ask God to renew your mind and establish you on this solid foundation of your identity as the body of Christ. This is who you are. As God renews your thinking on this, your relationship with Him will flourish. And your relationships with your brothers and sisters will honor Him and be a blessing to you.